Hello and welcome to the On Call Room.
A Grey's Anatomy.
No, podcast. I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Right before we started there, I almost forgot what we say to open it.
I was just laughing because we were going to start and Abby was like, you ready? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, wait, I'm not. And then she was like, oh, I thought I had to burp. And then I was like, you don't burp. And she was like, wishful thinking.
Jake keeps telling me that he wants to help me pay for that surgery in Chicago, but I'm afraid. What if I just throw up at meals?
Or what if you like lose your voice or something? They like cut Ariel. Your vocal cords. And so you have to type and then I have to do the podcast and just say what.
I like how you're worried about that. I was worried about like my career.
Oh, no. Because this is your career.
Because my first thought was like, actually, I could do my job. You know?
Yeah.
Why are these lines so weird? Guys, we don't know how to podcast. Like when I talk, your lines are moving too.
Well, probably it might be picking up from my mic.
Well, quit picking up my vocal cords.
I'm trying, but it's...
I want to do the Ariel, you know when she sings?
That was really beautiful.
And Ursula's like, sing
for me, like Phantom of the Opera. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, is that what that is? Like, no, what came first?
Phantom of the Opera.
Are we sure?
Phantom was in the 80s.
Ariel was also, okay, maybe I'll she was the 90s. Maybe she was the 90s.
When was Phantom of the Opera? You look up the other okay. of the opera written. I mean, the book came out well before. Okay, yeah, 1910, the book.
Okay,
I meant, but I meant.
Well, the musical, though, because that's when he says
yeah,
it is in
musical.
The
musical. That was 1986.
This was 1989.
Okay.
I bet you Ursula's based a little bit off that, like.
Of the Phantom?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to Reddit that later.
That is. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Yeah. We are deep diving every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. We are currently on season 13, episode 3, 4, and 5.
We're doing 3 tonight, y'all.
And if you want to go back and catch up, please do. Start at our pilot. Work your way towards us. You will learn all sorts of fun things about our lives. It's really great. And if you want to support us, you can do so by going to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. All of those ways really, really help support us. It makes us do this weekly. You can see that there are bonus episodes you can go back and listen to, our access to our private Facebook group, post-op, which you want to tell people what post-op is?
Yeah, post-op is when we call time of death, we stick around for 5 to 10 minutes. After the episode and discuss a topic that you have access to that if you are a $10 attending. And if you become an attending, that unlocks all of the other post-ops. You do have to listen in the Patreon app.
Yes.
You can connect that to your RSS feed. I think we like posted something about that Patreon. It's pinned. So if you're confused about that. And you also get a day early too. So that's exciting. But tonight we're going to talk about the funeral storyline in the first episode because it was pretty much the whole episode, but didn't really have much to do with the other characters. But we're going to discuss that after we call time of death. So if that was a really important storyline to you, be a $10 attending.
For sure. Also, we wanted to read a little review because it's fun. Normally I'd say like it'd be funny to read bad ones. We do that a lot, but we are going to read a good one tonight.
Great.
This did not have a username, but it says 10 out of 10 would recommend. I just listened to season 5, episode 19, and I'm thoroughly disappointed. I need Donna closure.
So sorry.
But for real, this podcast is fantastic, and I have completely enjoyed binging it for the past few weeks, and I will be sad when I am finally caught up. Absolutely love these ladies and their life stories and Grey's talk. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Then she went back and updated her review, which okay. This is what I love. Update. I've now finished binging this podcast. Abby and Bree have gotten me through so many long drives on work trips and have been the background noise to my desk work since sometime in June. These ladies have been the perfect distraction when I want to just turn off my mind from this busy life and I might actually enjoy their life stories more than the Grey's talk itself. I found myself laughing and cheering for their life milestones and truly appreciate all the time and dedication they've put into making sure they have great content to put out. You can clearly see the time and thought that they put into the content and their podcast only gets better with it as it goes on. I highly recommend this podcast.
Oh, that's so nice.
Made me want to cry. Made me feel very seen.
I want to give an update with
to
that.
Donna?
Review that there is no update on Donna. And I'm so sorry. And yeah,
we wish her well.
There will never be.
I may have seen her at the eyebrow place years ago, but I don't think I did, and she's gone.
I think I did update that I saw Cheryl once, yeah, and that she said Donna got kicked out of the apartment.
Right.
So that's all we know. We think maybe she moved back to the east side of the state. So
love
that's
that
all
for
we
her.
Know. And, you know, I hope she's doing well. I hope she's not being beige.
Is our life boring? Don't be beige.
Don't be beige.
Is our life boring now?
No, my life is very exciting. Not at all. I was telling Abby that, like, John and I started watching Harry Potter. He's never seen them. And I was like, we watched Harry Potter. And he was like, I watched Harry Potter because I fell asleep. And every night this weekend, we put something on the television and I just fell asleep. And I was like, wow, I haven't moved my body in days. And just on the couch. What? Like, it's dark by 5:30 now.
Yeah, at the latest.
Yeah, so I'm very tired. Like, I can't tell you how many glasses of wine I've thrown out at the end of the night because I've just, like, zonked on the couch and been like, well, I guess I'll just throw that away. Which, like, summer,
sometimes
I'm, like, thriving at 11 p.m. And last night, he wanted to... Oh, because we're rewatching Homeland again, too.
Yeah. Is that good to rewatch?
Yeah, and we were... we're one episode... we had one more episode and it was the season finale of season one. And last night, and he was like, let's watch it. And it was like 10 o'clock. And I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But in the summer or something, I would have been like, yeah, let's do it. I'm fine. I'll go to bed at 1 a.m. I don't give a shit.
Our bodies are supposed to get more rest in the winter.
Yeah.
I too have been doing the same. Jake goes to bed for work at 7:30 at night and I just follow him. And he's like, why are you, you don't have to wake up till 8:00. I'm like, guess I'll get 12 hours of sleep.
Do you think he's irritated and wants?
Probably. He probably wants alone time, but I don't speak to him. We show each other the TikToks that we found that day.
Yeah.
We giggle and then we roll to our sides and I read, usually until like 10. So I am staying up later, but I...
But you're in bed doing it.
Yeah, but what's the problem?
No, I don't think there's a...
I'm talking to him.
Well, I could see there being a slight problem just if you wanted to, because even if you're not talking to him, there is something about being in physical space with someone that you're not actually alone.
But I want to be
there
with him
in bed. No, I get it. Maybe you have to go lay in the guest bed.
I could make it comfy, but then I gotta make it. That feels like a chore.
You should put, like, see, I have my weighted blanket on mine, so you can just use a blanket.
That's a good idea. I could do that.
Yeah, and then...
But I like to read until I'm about to, like, can't...
Yeah,
and then I just
set it. Yeah.
And then I...
Yeah.
Also, I take my melatonin, and then I start reading, so I'm in, like, a fever dream by the time I, like, close my Kindle.
I can't do melatonin.
Oh,
we've already
it.
Talked about
it's
this.
It's like drugs. I know.
Yeah, we can't. I can't do it. But
that's okay.
Was it Sunday or Saturday? I think it was Saturday night that I was just like wide awake at 3:30. Do you ever get that? I get that quite often. And I was just like, I went downstairs because John was snoring.
That's such an adult thing to do.
So I started farming a little bit on my phone. And
I'm just going to say farting.
I started farting a bit. And then I was like, I should probably get out of bed. No, I was farming on my farm.
Oh my gosh. That's worse than farting.
At 3:30 in the morning. And then I was just like, and we have a TV in our room, but I was like, I don't want to wake John up. Like, he can sleep through things pretty easily, but it just felt rude.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to turn it on when you're going to bed.
Right.
It's another thing at 3:30 in the morning to put, like, Seinfeld on something.
Yeah, I would kill you.
So I was like, it's fine. And he was snoring so loud. So I was like, I'm going to go downstairs. So I watched, like, 2 episodes of Schitt's Creek.
Oh,
like,
nice.
At 3:30 in the morning. And then I must have dozed on
the
couch.
Did you have to work the next day?
No, this was like Saturday night.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I just like couldn't sleep. It was Friday or Saturday night. And then I got up and at like 6 and went back to bed. But no, if it was like a work night, I would have just sat in anxiety being like, I have to wake up. When really you should just, I don't know. I don't know what the rule is with, like, sleep hygiene, if you should actually get up.
Get up? Yeah, I don't know. I had that happen to me not long ago, and I pulled out my Kindle and read.
Yeah.
And I read a couple of chapters, and then I fell asleep, which is, to me, like watching a TV. Like, so...
Maybe I should get, like, a dim, like, book light.
Yeah.
That, if that... Because that happens to me quite often, where I wake up
just
in the middle of the night.
Just pull up Harry Potter.
Yeah. And then I can.
That's how you'll read it.
Read. Yeah. At 3:30 in the morning. Just.
I just.
Because I also, I hate reading. So it'll probably just knock me right out if I read three sentences and be perfect. I'm exhausted.
I just finished a book that had to do with the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression mm-hmm. and people migrating to California. And it was the most depressing book I've ever read. It was basically it was really big too. It was a lot of chapters of just, I'm hungry and we have no food.
Oh God.
Yeah, so that's what I do in the middle of the night.
Just read depressing stories.
Pretty much.
You're always reading something. Oh, I wish I was.
It's a thing. I've always
To been be fair, way. Though, I have talked to so many people who have been in grad school, and they said, I did not read for pleasure once during grad school.
Right, absolutely.
Because all you're doing is reading shit. And so the last thing you want to do
I wish I could
read.
Write. I don't know how to write.
Neither do I, and yet I have to do it
You have
all
a
the
novel.
Time. Yeah, well, I should get back to that. That's what I pull up. I open my laptop at 3:30 in the morning and type out my
novel.
Also,
where was I just listening? Oh, our friend Chris, our mutual friend Chris of the podcast as well, sent me
a podcast. He also has a podcast, Shortcomings.
He sent me a podcast, the word podcast.
Podcast,
I feel really bad that my brain can't remember the name of it. But anyways, they were talking about Harry Potter and fan fiction, and they said that the only people that write fan fiction are either 14 or 37.
Yeah, hell, and I was both.
You're about, soon you'll, in a few years, you could be the other version.
Yeah. I listened to that podcast, Poop Friends.
Oh my God. Was it funny?
Yeah, it was funny.
I feel like you're my poop friend.
Yeah. I loved the story about the person who has Crohn's going to camp.
The camp,
Crohn's
yeah.
and colitis and Yeah, poop is such an embarrassing thing.
It's on
thing.
Invisibilia. Invisibilia.
Poop is such an embarrassing thing, especially when you're that age, you're a teenage girl.
Right.
And so if you have digestive problems, which I have had my whole life, it can become extremely embarrassing. So there was this great little story about this girl who had Crohn's, was diagnosed with Crohn's, and how she went to a camp where everyone
Yes.
It was normal to change your underwear and because whatever. So we also sent that to our friend Chris.
Because he is not our poop friend.
No, doesn't think it should be talked about. And I think it's funny and fine.
I loved the story, the first one where the girl asked if she could poop at her friend's house. And he's like, no.
You know what is,
I wanted to kill him.
Yeah, you know what is so funny? So I listened to that. And then on my time hop, a text message showed up. That I had sent to my friend Susan, and I said, I'm taking my morning poop, and I just heard my neighbors upstairs having sex and heard both of them finish, and I wanted to applaud at the end. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I sent that text message. There's so much intimacy in all of that.
Well, the fact that it's on your timeout means you also posted it.
No, I think I screenshotted it.
Oh, it was just in your
It was
memories.
Just okay. in a screenshot.
Was it on Facebook?
No, I didn't post it.
Well, now it's on the podcast.
Well, yeah, now everyone knows. But I mean, yeah, I'm just, texting people while pooping and listening.
What's
so funny is I didn't, I did not remember that. But then when I read that, I was right back there, on that toilet. Oh my God, people are having sex upstairs right now.
I mean, I guess I can understand if you are someone. What I can't understand is being married to someone that you don't discuss that with. I know a couple people.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you survive.
Well, I have a friend who her husband is from England. And so culturally, that is something that you really don't discuss. You excuse yourself to go fart, it's just a very we just
well,
don't.
I wish Jake would excuse himself to fart sometimes.
Sure, sure. But it's just not something, it is very taboo. You don't talk about it. And it's I could not really imagine that in my life, especially just because I do get sick a lot. So that is something that early on I have to be I might have to run to the bathroom sometimes because...
Amy Schumer tells that great story of, I think it's her husband, when they're, one of their first times they went abroad, they both got food poisoning, and, there was, a wicker door between, the bed and the bathroom, and it's just great, and I'm yeah, there's... Sometimes you're in a situation where, it's unavoidable.
Well,
today Jake walked out of the bathroom this morning and goes, oh, my God. So he woke up... Ate our leftover Indian food for breakfast, which
Love
whatever.
It.
And then Kate went to the bathroom, walked out of the bathroom, and goes, whoa, that Indian food fought back. That's what he said to me. And that's how I woke up.
So when John and I first started dating, remember he got me tickets to go see Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And so we
In Chicago.
Yeah, we were we weren't living together yet. It was like our first trip together. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those hotels with like a sliding
door. A real door.
Yeah. And just like the bed right next to it. And he was like, we got there. And he was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I was like, do you want me to turn the TV up? And he was like, yes, please. So I turned the TV to like 90 and just like sat in bed because like, you don't want to ruin like the mystique of it all, but then you're like married and you're like, whatever. Like, fucking no. Like,
that's a great story.
We all poop. We all poop.
Even Meredith Grey.
She does as well. So,
anyways, I hope we just lost half of our.
I'm sure we did. Listeners. I'm sure there are people who are very disgusted by all of that.
But
wait, I want to say one last thing. Yes. Did you ever live in a situation where you heard other people having sex? Because I feel like you didn't have like
in college.
Oh, like, in college.
Some of my apartments.
Oh, yeah, you had at Michigan State. I forgot. For some reason, I was just thinking about like you being in a dorm. And then, like, you living in Milwaukee.
There was a couple.
Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There was a couple apartments where I can remember the creak of the mattress.
Yeah. So, it's such awful. A, like, early 20s thing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I don't really want to be hearing this, but I'm also intrigued.
And once I stayed at a hotel in Detroit that's, like, this, like, it was supposed, it's, like, I feel like it's trying to be like an ace hotel.
Yeah.
Very cool. But the walls are so thin. It's like not made very well. And I once had to call the front desk and complain because it was like 2 a.m. and they were like shrieking. It went on. I was like, okay, I'll just wait until they're done. And it was like an hour. Like, I don't know if the girl, I wanted to like call the girl and be like, you good? Like
it's everything okay.
Do you need help? Like, what, as far as like, it feels like it's taking him quite a while. And so I like wanted to help them. So, but what I did was instead complain to the front desk.
How, but what do they do?
They called and just said there was a noise complaint.
I bet they laughed.
I bet they fucking loved it. Yeah. But I was like, I had a wedding the next day and I was just like,
I'm sure they loved it. Like, we're so rowdy and wild. Did they quiet down?
Yeah.
Or they were mortified. I bet it was an affair.
Ooh, probably.
Yeah. No married people in a hotel room are having sex like that. They're turning the thing up to 90, taking their shits and then going to bed.
They're putting on their noise machines they brought with them from home. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, because they're going and getting away from their children and just getting a good night's sleep.
They actually got a room with 2 queen beds so they could each have their own bed.
Don't touch me.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so good. So, all right. Well, we have 3 episodes to discuss.
Jesus.
But first, or are we going to do monologues first? I forget what
we're going to do. Monologues first. So the episodes are called I Ain't No Miracle Worker, Falling Slowly, and Both Sides Down. Do you want to start?
Oh, my God, Falling Slowly. Do you remember that song?
No.
Take this. It's sinking boat. And,
that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The key, or not the key. What? Wow, I can hear the song and feel the feelings. Okay. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Every patient who gets bad news wants to be the exception, the one in a million, the miracle. But surgeons don't believe in miracles. We have to make them happen. Miracles aren't always huge. The fever breaks, the stitch holds, the bone heals. That's why they can be so hard to spot and why they can be such a pain in the ass. Don't get me wrong, tiny miracles are great. A little miracle is a miracle. It just may not be enough to save us. Meredith Grey.
The harder the hit, the more it'll sting. That's usually the case. So we prescribe meds, ice, compression, elevation. Things you do to stop the immediate pain. But you can only dull the pain for so long, and when the drugs start to wear off, it really hurts. There's a reason these fixes are called temporary. They were never meant to last forever. So what happens when you're faced with a fix that's more permanent? Do you fight it? Do you try to resist? Or do you step back and decide that maybe acceptance is the best fix of all? Meredith Grey.
There's a reason the punchline to so many doctor jokes start with, I've got good news and bad news. Often, the bad news is so bad, when something good comes along, we tend to go a little overboard. Every cloud has a silver lining, but it's still a cloud. A cloud can mean a shower or a storm. So you take your good days where you get them. You try to stay positive. You try to remember that even in the bad news, there's good news for someone. Meredith Grey.
All right, shotgun workup. We have Morgan Fisher, panic attack. Julian Fisher, forehead laceration, broken arm. Barbara Davis, forearm laceration. Kara Fisher, pregnancy, pelvic fracture. Georgia Fisher, myocardial infarction, and Lazarus Lazarus syndrome. That's the one that got me. It's from the Bible. It's from the Bible. Daniel Campbell, superficial facial lacerations and leg laceration. Polly Campbell, grade 3 splenic laceration, splenic rupture, aortic dissection, paralysis. Emma, dislocated shoulder. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Andrew Billings, cardiac myxoma, brain death. June Crowley, end-stage liver disease. And then Chelsea Keene, heat stroke, seizure, acute liver failure. So we're going to skip one.
Love it. Okay, rounds. Here we go. Jackson and April are dealing with becoming new parents. Neither of them are sleeping because they are not taking turns checking on Harriet. When April gets up, Jackson goes to make sure she is okay because of her incision. April's getting up and making Jackson coffee in the morning, even though she wants to sleep in, and he would prefer that she didn't. Both of them feel like they are walking on eggshells. April's also super bored at home. She loves Harriet, but didn't realize how boring a baby is when they fall asleep. She brings Harriet to the hospital and passes her off on Jackson so she can go watch what is going on in the ER. Arizona checks April's incision and sees that it is healed and tells April she can move out. April later that evening suggests to Jackson that it may be time for her to leave. Jackson says he doesn't want them to go, and April says she is not ready to leave either.
Nathan and Meredith are constantly finding times throughout the day to talk to each other. While Meredith insists that they must just be coworkers, he presses her to go on a date with him.
Sorry. Cool. Typed that fast.
She says no. At one point while working together on a patient, the two of them make a decision and side against Owen. Something goes wrong on the patient, whose name is Polly, and she ends up paralyzed from the waist down. Meredith questions whether or not she sided with Riggs because he was Riggs or because it was the right medical choice. She asks Riggs what he thinks, and he is offended by her question. At the end of the episode, she admits to thinking about him all the time, but says yet again that they need to just be colleagues. All the while, they are still keeping secrets from Maggie.
When Arizona returns from New York City, we see her interact with both Alex and her old roommate, DeLuca. She hugs DeLuca and tells him that she is not mad at him and that he can continue to live there while she finds Karev and gives him a lecture. During the day, she wishes that Karev was there to operate. And at the end of the first episode, they stand together and Alex says that he is not going to give up. He's going to keep working in the clinic and do what he can to get back.
Bailey finds out that Tuck needs to be picked up from school. Ben is super excited to be a part of the multiple MBC pileup, but Bailey instructs him he needs to go get Tuck from school instead. Ben, after getting Tuck, realizes the reason he needed to leave was because he got in a fight. He asks Miranda how they are going to handle this, and Miranda says that Tuck is her son and she'll deal with it. As the day goes on, Tuck is playing video games in Miranda's office, and Ben realizes that Miranda has not addressed it. He asks her why Miranda has to lay the hammer down at work. She doesn't want to have to do it at home, too. She wants a little more time before she has to discipline Tuck. Ben says that Tuck is his son, too, and he will take care of it. He brings Tuck to look at the pictures of DeLuca after the assault. He says that DeLuca ended up blind, and the person who assaulted him ended up in prison. Obviously, these aren't the full truth, but it scares Tuck enough into apologizing to his mom.
Amelia starts worrying that her and Owen got together too soon without knowing enough about each other. She questions him at all hours of the day, including work, and at one point, she says that he doesn't know her either, and some things are so bad that he might not want to be with her. Later that night, while in bed, they get honest with each other, and Amelia talks about the time her boyfriend and the love of her life OD'd next to her in bed. Owen then shares about the time that he choked Christina. He reassures her that they are okay and that their children will be okay. They decide not to wait and want to try having kids now.
A girl named Emma shows up to the clinic needing an IV. Timmer, the nurse who runs a clinic, tells Alex that Emma is a monthly patient who shows up after binge drinking and the protocol is fluids and pamphlets for alcoholism. He tells Karev he needs to get her out of there quickly because this is not a hotel. When Karev examines Emma, she clearly has been here before, tells him what arm to put the IV in and says if he's an intern, he should get help because she's been poked 100 times before. Karev slows her IV, making her stay longer in the clinic. She says she needs to get to work and asks how long it will be so she can let her employer know. She notices the pamphlets that Karev has on alcoholism, and she says she's not an alcoholic. She just has figured out what makes her feel better. Alex yells at her, saying she is full of crap, and she responds that she only had one beer. He says she is going down a dangerous road. Richard sees Alex yelling at the patient and calls him over. It looks like Alex is going to get scolded by Richard, but Richard says he has about 30 minutes to do his thing since Alex slowed the IV. Richard ends up telling Emma that he used to tell himself he didn't have a problem, and he talks about AA. Emma gets up to leave, and Richard goes to grab her, dislocating her arm. Timur and Karev come running over to Emma, and Emma reduces the dislocation, shocking the doctors. Alex finally diagnoses Emma with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, but lets Richard be the one to tell her. She is extremely relieved to have a diagnosis.
Then we have June, who liked to be called Granny June, who was in the hospital for a liver transplant after 3 years on the waiting list. She was one of Bailey's favorite patients, and Bailey brought DeLuca in on the surgery so he could experience joy. June's whole family had gathered for her surgery, and she made cookies and scarves and hats for the doctors. She was a sweet old lady, or so they thought. At the same time, Chelsea came into the ER with heat stroke after running in the heat. Her condition compromised her liver. They tried treating her, but they advised her there was a possibility she could need a liver transplant. Her sister, Chandler, immediately said she'd donate. Chelsea had a seizure while they were waiting, and they determined she'd need a liver transplant, and she was given 1A status on the transplant list. Her sister was determined to be unable to donate because she was pregnant. Meredith and Bailey approached June, Granny June, and asked if she'd be willing to give up her place in line so the liver could be reallocated to Chelsea. However, June decided not to do that, and the liver stayed with her. After surgery, she was stable, and a liver transplant actually became available when Andrew Billings was declared brain dead and Chelsea received her transplant.
Amelia shows up to work and thinks that it is the 26th, but it's actually the 29th. She realizes then that her period is late, and which is like 2 days.
Yeah.
What? Okay. But, and she immediately thinks she is pregnant. She tells many people, including Meredith, who hug and congratulate her. Meredith tells her that she cannot congratulate her fully until she actually pees on a stick. All day, Amelia asks other moms how they told their spouses that they were pregnant. She says to April in the bathroom that she's never had to do this before because the last time she was pregnant, the father was dead. At the end of the day, she finally shows Owen a pregnancy test, and they take it together. Owen is extremely excited all day long, especially after spending time with Harriet. The pregnancy test ends up being negative. Lots of rounds, y'all. So before we get into our discussion of rounds, we had a listener call in, Science with Sarah, and we're so grateful that she did. So she's going to talk a little bit about Emma's storyline. So we're going to hear from her now.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah of Science with Sarah, although I've not done a Science with Sarah in a very long time because I'm in graduate school and I'm very busy. So I'm sorry. I'm leaving you guys a memo because I want to talk about a specific storyline that happens in this episode. This is season 13, episode 4, Falling Slowly. And when it comes to the like actual plot of the episode, this would be considered like a B story. It's the story about Alex diagnosing a girl in the clinic with a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. This is near and dear to my heart because I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So the way that this story actually came about was Sarah Ramirez was giving a TED talk and she met a girl who had EDS. And this girl who had EDS approached her and was like, look, I would really like it if the show could do a story about this condition I have. People aren't diagnosed nearly as early as they should be. They're abused by the medical system. They're gaslighted into thinking there's nothing wrong with them. And I think it would be really cool if Grays would highlight that. And that's exactly what happened here. And that's why when I watched this episode, oh my gosh, and just now just talking about it, I'm tearing up. When I watched this episode, I cried. because they perfectly depicted what it's like to find out you have EDS. You are constantly berated by doctors. If you go in there and you explain exactly what you need, which is what this character does, she comes in, she says, just give me an IV and go home. Let me go home. Because she understands that she needs fluids. She understands that her body feels better after she gets fluids. That's because she has postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which means you can't regulate your blood pressure properly. So having an extra bunch of fluids in your system helps. I've done this before where I've gone in and just gotten fluids because I needed them because I was passing out. The fact that she gets accused of drinking too much. We so often get accused of being addicts, of abusing medications, when in fact we just take them as directed. We take them as needed. We look normal. You know, she looks normal to everybody who looks at her. She looks perfectly normal until she tries to get up and leave and her shoulder dislocates. You know, that's a characteristic of EDS. So let me describe it a little bit more. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a connective tissue disorder. Specifically, it's a disorder mostly of collagen, but of extracellular matrix proteins. So you have cells in your body and you have proteins that keep the cells together on the outside. EDS is a disorder of the proteins that keep the cells together. It means that we have very fragile connective tissue. It means that our tendons and our ligaments stretch more than they should. It means our cartilage is not as strong as it should be. Our bones are less dense than they should be. Our GI tissue doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. Our muscles are very fragile. I can keep going. Vasculature is very weak, so we bruise really easily. A lot of the times, children who have EDS, their parents are accused of being abusive, when in fact the children just bruise very easily because they have EDS. The unfortunate thing about EDS is that it's considered rare. Doctors learn about it in medical school for maybe 20 minutes of one lecture when they're in 1 year in one class, and then they never see it. And so it means that it's under-recognized and it's underdiagnosed. And in fact, it's probably not actually rare. It's probably just underdiagnosed. It's genetic. The type of EDS that I have is hypermobility type EDS. There are 14 subtypes, and it's autosomal dominant, which means I have a 1 in 2 chance of passing it on to each of my kids. My dad has it. His sister has it. One of his sister's kids has it, so on. It doesn't seem very serious, but it is. I see close to 15 different specialists because there's something wrong with every single system of my body. I've almost died, I don't know how many times, because I had instability in my spine that we eventually fixed. I've had 10 surgeries. I had 10 surgeries before I turned 30. 6 of them being on my brain and spine. I had a brain tumor. It affects my literal every single day. And having them highlight this condition on a show as major as Grey's was huge for all of us. And they did it just right. They taught you about the condition. And they also taught doctors, who probably don't watch the show, I realize, but just taught people about, like, this is the abuse that we suffer. I didn't get diagnosed until I was 25. I'm 34 now. And I was in pain and had a bunch of medical problems that no one connected my whole life. I can remember being in pain every day as young as 5. I remember being othered for my pain and my joint problems as young as 11. I had 3 knee surgeries before I turned 18, and nobody connected the dots. Eventually, I connected the dots and got diagnosed only after seeing a doctor previous to the one who diagnosed me, who told me that I was crazy for thinking that I had EDS and there was no way I could. And then seeing the second doctor and him saying, oh my gosh, within 5 minutes saying, oh my gosh, of course you have EDS. I'm surprised no one else has caught it. Which just gives you an idea of the mental abuse that we suffer in systems. I will not go to the ER, no matter how bad it is, because I know it's just going to be a fight. Whenever I meet a new doctor, I bring my diagnosis letter and I print out several articles about EDS as pertains to their discipline so that they can understand it better. You have to learn to be an advocate and be a teacher, whether you want to or not. And then the last thing I just want to say is EDS is shitty. It's shitty. It's shitty in my life every day. It screws me up a lot. But I've found wonderful people who also have EDS. And EDS has actually changed the direction of my life. So I mentioned earlier, I'm in graduate school. I decided to come back to school because I got annoyed that people in the pharmacology and toxicology world, which is what I'm getting my PhD in, don't know anything about EDS and don't research it, even though it has huge drug implications. And so I came back to school to study it. And I'm currently participating in EDS research as a researcher while doing my PhD. And once I finish my PhD in a couple of years, I hope to start my own lab where I can research EDS. And then also I hope to, as a professor, be able to incorporate EDS and other rare diseases into my teaching so that I can make other healthcare professionals more aware. And hopefully it can stop being considered a rare disease because it actually is properly diagnosed. So I ranted and I'm sorry. But you guys weren't really having co-hosts anymore. And I knew that I wanted to say something. So here I am saying the thing. If anyone wants to ask me about EDS, please do. You can tag me in the Facebook group, or my Instagram handle is sickkidchemist. And I post a lot on Instagram about having EDS, and I have highlights on my page about the different surgeries that I've had to have and the conditions that I have, the doctors I see, and so on. So anybody who wants to learn more about EDS can go there. And you can ask me questions, like I said, in the Facebook group, and I will do my very best to answer them. But yeah, I just wanted to pop in here and talk about how much this episode makes me cry, no matter how many times I watch it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Okay, so thank you, Sarah, so much for calling in and talking about that storyline and being so vulnerable with your life and what you have experienced, and also giving our listeners a place to chat with you about this. And I think it's so important, and I think it really shows that when Grays does it right, they do it right. And this is, EDS is something that, as Sarah had said, is not often diagnosed, but probably should be diagnosed more. And so I'm just really proud of Grays having a listener who has this, to do this storyline justice. I was happy to have Sarah call in and be this is exactly how it is. I feel like Grays did their research in this instead of a storyline that kind of, because I felt like it was kind of a B storyline, but it was throughout the whole episode. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just wanted to really thank Sarah for her vulnerability and calling in and
sharing
her story and experience with it.
It's also really cool that sometimes a storyline that while we might not it might not be super meaningful to us at first or whatever, it is speaking to someone, and probably that's why they put it there. So I just think it's a good reminder.
Well, yeah. And I think it's a reminder too, that a lot of these storylines, they affect real people.
Yes.
This is someone who called in and is hey, this is my life and this is my story. And it's a lot of these storylines in Grays are based upon things that happen in real people's lives. And so it's easy to kind of pick apart storylines,
right,
when it's a dramatization, but there are so many different diagnoses and stuff within Grays that touch people in different ways. So
for sure. Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. What is your first note?
My first note is Maggie is not okay. Alex is fine. It sucks, but he is fine. What am I talking about? he says it sucks, but
it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Maggie used the phrase that Riggs holds all the power. Now that she told him that how she feels, which is true. I feel that's how it goes in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Also my second note, just to say, I forgot Arizona's been missing.
I know. What was so weird is when she showed up and I was she went to New York to see Callie and Sophia. I don't know where my brain was, but I was I thought Callie was still on the show. I don't know. I think I had rewatched an episode recently.
Confused.
Yeah. Yes. And I was confused on timeline of Yeah. So anyway, she's here. She is.
I'm glad she's back.
Yeah.
And I also like her response to both DeLuca and Alex. Like, I like that she is.
Well, she's so in the middle.
Right. And I like that she's pissed at Alex, but she wants him to come back as a doctor. And she's also like, sorry for DeLuca that this had to happen. Like,
yeah. At first, I couldn't tell when she sees DeLuca. I thought that maybe she like didn't know it happened, but I think she was just shocked at how bad it actually was. Mm-hmm. Like, as she, like, he's like, it's not that bad. I was like, oh, okay. Cause I thought at first maybe she had no idea what was going on. But I don't think that was the case.
Just to stay on this topic really fast, I felt like it was a good, again, I feel like when I talk about this, like, no, Alex should never beat up someone. I don't think he's a perfect person. But I liked how Arizona, like, in the earlier in that day, she, like, was like, okay, can you page Krav? They're like, no. Yeah. And then, like, she goes and she's like, she started the day by yelling at him by saying, your job is to fix children. Mm-hmm. Like, your job is to fix children. And she ended it by being like, basically, like, it's shitty that the best doctor to do this can't do this. Like, you need to fight for this, essentially, because he is such a good doctor.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's extremely frustrating for her. She's like, I put all my time and energy into training you into the best Pete's doctor, because she's no longer.
Right.
Because she worked under, So she put all of her energy into, like, creating another Arizona, and now she can't, and now he can't practice.
Right.
Sticking with that subject, like, maybe we should just talk about Karev, like, in the clinic.
Yeah. I
was very frustrated by that nurse. At first, Tamir, I thought it was thought it was a doctor. He's a nurse, which is not bad by any means. But I think that there was definitely some type of, what's the word that I'm looking for? Hierarchy, issue. Like, and so he was overcompensating, maybe.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I mean, like, I liked the point that Bailey was like, I gave you a job, I can't get you out of it. Like, you need to manage your schedule. But I thought it was bullshit that he, like, wouldn't budge for anything. Or, like, you know, it was like, don't touch that patient. It was, like, very over-dramatization. But I would say that besides the part when Alex freaked out and threw the stuff, I felt like it was really, I appreciated him seeing, like, okay, I fucked up. I need to come in early. I need to do my job, put my head down. Like, even Meredith was like, this is scut. Like, what are you doing this for? And he was like, this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
Like, I appreciated that part of him. Also, it's funny seeing, I saw you had a note about different color scrubs. Those are, like, the color scrubs then that he ends up wearing when he's, like, chief of that new hospital.
Yes. He, I do think it's really interesting how, like, the other doctors come in to have lunch in, like, an exam room.
Yeah.
And I loved that scene a bit because it was, like, kind of, like, old really place. Old guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, going and sitting in with a really old guy or whatever. But, yeah, he wasn't able to, like,
cut off the
abscess or whatever, drain an abscess because it was surgical. And he was like, I am surgical. And he was like, no, you're not. And so he has a bunch of surgeons in there and they're all like, I would, but I don't want to. And like, they're way above that. And knowing that, like, I'm sure Karev would love to cut off an abscess.
Right.
You know what
I mean? Just to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that moment when Joe came in to do it too. Like, at first she's pissed at him, but I wonder if she had a moment of realization of like, oh, you aren't even allowed to do this.
I don't know. Yeah,
it was hard to tell. I don't know where she's at mentally.
No, I was frustrated with her response of like, you called me to drink. It's like,
he called.
It's like, Joe, you fucking know how pages work.
Right,
like,
right.
You know how the hospital system works. And I don't think he specifically paged you. In fact, he probably doesn't want you there because that does not look good for him.
No. Also, it was sad the way, like, the difference between how she looked at him and, like, he looked at her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were, he proposed. Like, they were there and then now they're here. And it's just, I want to shout out to one of our Facebook group people. Her name's Kaylee. She posted in the Facebook group a link to a compilation video, which I have yet to watch because I need to be in the right mood.
Sure.
But it's of Taylor Swift's All Too Well song, but it's all about Joe and Alex.
Love it.
Yeah. So if you're looking, I'm sure you can Google search that. Or if you're a patron, you can look for it in the group. But they're in shit right now.
Yeah. Did you find it weird that he was getting on a bus?
Yeah. Well, since when does he, I was like, was his license revoked? Yeah. I was confused. And then why he got off of it? Because he suddenly had that realization.
Yeah. About the diagnosis. Yeah. I did like that he let Richard do it.
Yes. And didn't take the credit.
Yeah. And that it didn't even matter. He was like, that was like a one in a million catch. And like, he was a doctor.
Yes. And then he says to Meredith at the end, he's like, I'm good. He's like, I caught a one in a million case. I'm good. And like he, right before he leaves the
clinic.
He also like straightens. Did you see, notice yes. that? Like, mm-hmm. like he, I feel like he has like, I feel like this is also healing his relationship to the Denny Duquette clinic, yes. which originally like Denny fucking stole Izzy from him.
Yes.
And so he wanted nothing to do with it. Now it's like going to help him get back on his feet. And I feel like after this, he's going to have like a connection to it.
Yes. So great.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the trial's coming up soon, though, because they're talking about, like, yes. character witnesses, and, yeah, so I think that will be in the next couple episodes here.
I also liked the part on Alex, too, when Meredith wants to go convince Granny June
yes.
to give up the liver, and he's like, Meredith, no. Like, you can't do that. You remember when you did that with DeLuca? Like, you made it worse.
Yes.
Because Meredith is not winning any Catherine Avery Awards for me.
At all this season. She is on, like, let's talk about Meredith. I mean, And maybe, okay, I just had this thought. Maybe they're trying to pull in some of that dark and twisty Meredith that we have lost mm-hmm, over mm-hmm. the seasons. You know, some of that gray,
yeah.
like for lack of a better word.
Yeah, yeah, gray. Yeah.
You know, that like maybe not great behavior, but that makes right. us love Meredith. But to me, it comes off just super annoying.
Yeah, like Riggs wants to come clean.
Yes. And even if you don't want to come, like, if you decide, like, okay, we can only be colleagues, you then cannot dictate his behavior.
Right.
You can't tell him to not date Maggie. You can't tell him then to go date Maggie
yeah, that part.
And be, like,
terrible
and have bad breath. Like, she is trying to dictate his behavior, and he's loving it. Like,
he's
it's a
deeply
game.
Influenced by it.
Like,
yeah.
it's a game for him, and it's, like, you know, at one point he like turns to a patient. And he's like, I'm going to get her. He like,
yeah.
The whole thing really grosses me out because two, there have been so many scenes with Maggie where she's like, she ends up thanking Meredith. Like, thanks for talking to Riggs for me.
Right. And she didn't.
No.
Or she didn't do it in the right way.
No, she was talking about her.
Right.
And being colleagues, remaining colleagues with Riggs or whatever. It was not anything about like, and she just takes the credit for it.
I can't remember how this ends, but I feel like Amelia's going to put it together because she was questioning Maggie and was like, oh, she didn't want to hear you talk about that. I thought it was going to happen that way, but it didn't yet. So who knows if it will, but I can't remember how it comes to a head. But yeah, I'm not loving the way she's reacting about this. I mean, I will say in real life, I feel like there's something to be said about like hidden romance. It makes mm-hmm. it more like enticing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so I feel like Riggs and her are both like in that. But yeah, I like your thought about it being more like Meredith's not perfect. And I feel like in the later season, she kind of gets put up on this pedestal.
Yes.
And I feel like this reminds us that like, she's definitely dark and twisty.
Yeah. And this is like, one of her first relationships after Derek. So right. I think there's probably maybe a bit to that too.
I would argue that their relationship is extended so long because they're in this tension place. And then once they actually get to the relationship part, I don't remember how long they are together for, but
I don't remember it has either.
But like, I feel like this is what she likes more than the actual being in the relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't, I guess.
Yeah. The back and the forth.
Yeah. The back and the forth.
The sexiness of it all.
It's
driving me crazy though.
Yeah, for sure.
I will say, I just like everything about Meredith. We're in five episodes in season 13, and she's
not doing great.
She's not doing great. I think she's just really like, she's being really selfish is yeah. what it is.
And then she gets mad at herself, I think, for questioning her medical choices.
Mm-hmm.
But then she takes it out on Riggs being like, did you only side with me because
I'm me?
Yeah. And he was like, fuck no, which
yes.
I appreciate because I feel like he's like, I'm not into you that much where
yes.
I would like sacrifice a patient.
Absolutely. There is a part two where Maggie and Meredith go to get something to eat at the end of the night. And Maggie ends up like thanking Meredith for like listening to her all day. And she said, is there anything you want to get off of your chest? Mm. Like, are there any guys you're into or whatever? And it's like, just so obvious.
She's like, no.
Yeah. That,
I will say at the same time, I'm in the camp of like, I do think Riggs and Meredith at this point are good together. Like, I would love to see it, especially that scene when he talks about the, do you ever have the dream, the miracle dream? And and he describes like what Megan is doing, making him coffee. And Mary's like, no. And then she opens the door and she's like, he comes back and is like, oh, I forgot my keys. Sorry, I've been gone for so long.
Yeah.
So I feel like them bonding over that is why I think I like them together, because they both like, it's why I like McWidow too. I feel like they've experienced loss.
Yeah, such extreme loss of their partners.
Right.
And they're like, what they would probably say, like their true loves.
Right.
And so they can relate on that level. But the way she's going about it is just, it's going to make it so much worse when Maggie finds out.
Had
she
just
had come clean in the very beginning, as we've said, like when Maggie said, I'm into Riggs, and she said, she should have just been like,
I slept with him.
I'm like, I didn't know you were into him.
Yeah.
I'm into him. But if that's going to bother you, you know, like you can work through that, but
now it's going to be rough.
Yeah. So,
What did you think about like Amelia and Owen?
Okay, so the tumor's got to be playing in here, right? So quickly they're leaning into having kids.
Well, yeah, and that she's like, they'd say our children are, and I kept thinking like, I'm thinking about current Amelia, who like has one child with Link, but does not want any more and doesn't even want Link.
Yes. I think things are, like, she's realizing, without realizing she has a brain tumor, is like, holy shit, we jumped really quickly into this marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know a ton of shit about you. And like, you know things about me, but I don't know things about you. Like that scene where she's like, how old was I when my dad died? And he was like 5. And then she was like, right, but like, I don't know how old you were when your dad died.
But Riggs knew. Yeah.
And so I think she's kind of realizing like, oh shit, I don't know a ton about him, but also he doesn't know some really important things about me.
Yeah.
And so when she ends up bringing up Ryan.
Thank you for remembering his name.
Yeah, from private practice. And Ryan was her partner, her boyfriend. They were going to get clean together, and then they they decided to use one last time, and he overdosed and he aspirated on his vomit, and she woke up to next to him and he was dead.
Right.
So she tells him about that. But what she doesn't tell him is that she later finds out she was pregnant.
I know, she didn't disclose that.
What I find is interesting is like, if you weren't a private practice viewer,
do you not know that
you would not know any of this, I don't think. So I do think the pregnancy thing will come out.
Yeah.
I mean, she does mention to April, but we also know that, and I can't remember the exact diagnosis of what her baby had, but he was born without a brain, pretty much. Yeah. And so it's interesting too. And tell me what you think about this. So like, that was the first part of like episode 1 or 2 where Amelia doesn't know anything about Owen. And if you have anything to say about that before I go to the pregnancy part.
No, you're good. Keep going.
So then in the second part, or like the last episode, she thinks she's pregnant. And they have been talking about potentially wanting kids.
Right.
And the whole time I thought like she was really excited. But when she sees the negative, I was like, oh shit, she's relieved.
Yeah, she has like she made like a sound.
Yeah, and I realized that like, but I don't know if you would catch that again if you didn't know Amelia's backstory. But I think maybe that will come up in the storyline.
I can't remember. Does Amelia not even share that when the thing with April happens, like their first baby?
Maybe. You're right. That might have happened.
I just feel like,
maybe not in the context of with Owen, but maybe on the show.
I feel like we might know as viewers, but the Owen might not know.
Yeah.
That's my only thought. I also, I couldn't, same with you. I couldn't tell where she was at mentally about it.
What was really weird too is I thought something was going to come up about her brain tumor, because when she was looking at the date, it was blurry.
Oh, I think that might have been your television.
No, it was like a quick moment of her adjusting her eyes.
I thought that's what the, oh, it could be. At first, I thought that's what the thing was too, but then I realized it was her, but she thought it was the day before.
Yeah.
So it could be both things all at once.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. It's like, so.
Does that mean Tom Krasick comes soon?
Maybe.
It's also weird to see Amelia in a world where she is pro-marriage. Like, she's talking to Meredith and them, and she's like, marriage sex is wild. I love married sex. It's right there. You don't ever... And, like, to think that where she is current, where she, like, said no to Link and is vehemently... What's the word? I like using the word. Like against marriage for herself. And so it's just like... I also feel like that doesn't play into the current storyline. Like, I feel like she could be saying to Link, like, I was married.
Yes.
Like, this isn't a life that I want.
Yes.
But it, like, never, her being married to Owen is, like, never brought up.
Yeah. I also think, too, and I want to be sensitive here because I've never been pregnant.
Yeah.
But I know of some people who have been pregnant and then miscarried and then have gotten pregnant again. And it's so scary that second time that they're like, you never, I've heard this from someone, you never have that first time of being pregnant in the joy ever again. Right. It's just the fear of what could be.
Because there's anxiety tied to it.
Because you lost something. And so I feel like that with like Amelia too, that joy is stripped of like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I think like that is... what I was kind of picking up on, but I think she wants this with Owen. But I think that, well, and they do explore it when she actually, like later on when she is pregnant with the Link, like she does talk about like all of the fear and stuff of being pregnant. Oh, that
scene in like the plant room.
Yeah. But in regards to Owen and this, I think that she does want it, but then I could be reading into this too much, but when she sees the negative, there is a relief that she doesn't have to talk about it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Like, and exactly. She doesn't have to tell him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah.
So.
It's so crazy that they're married.
I don't think they stay married that long, right?
No. I feel like once the tumor's gone.
Yeah.
Her love.
How do you think Owen, I mean, like we've talked a lot about Amelia, but how do you think like Owen just wants a goddamn baby.
But at first, I thought it was going to go the other way. I thought he was going to be overwhelmed with Harriet because he was, you know, I love that scene when he goes up to Alex and he's like, are babies supposed to cry like this? And then Alex picks the baby at Harriet up and she's fine, passes it off. And he goes, don't worry, the bad man is gone. Like, yeah. I just love little writing moments like that. But at first I thought he was overwhelmed, but then when the baby falls asleep on him, I feel like all anyone needs is a baby to fall asleep on them. And you do feel like,
oh my God, it's the best.
It does something. Yeah.
Yeah.
To both men and women and any, I just feel like it's to be chosen as a pillow.
And to be like, to feel safe enough to like.
Yes. And so I feel like after that happens and you obviously realize that he never wants to bring Harriet to daycare.
Yes.
And even he watches Jackson holding Harriet, getting on the elevator, going home. And I think he has a moment of like, I want that.
Yeah.
Also, boy, does Jesse Williams look hot. Holding the baby.
I hated the scene with Owen and Riggs changing a diaper, making it seem like surgery.
Yeah.
I was like, this is
a crime against humanity.
Yeah,
it was like, stupid.
Diaper, more wipes, go to double up.
Well, like, first you think they're talking about something else.
Like, yeah.
I forget what he says. I had it written
something
down.
Bad has happened or something.
Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, something terrible has happened.
Yeah.
Stupid. Okay, I have like one note on this because it's like with the liver patients. I just want to say that I felt so sad that Andy died. Andy Billings, because he went to space and he was so kind. Where was his family? No one was there. All he wanted was a joke. And Steph
couldn't
do
provide.
It. And then
she's a surgeon. She's not a comedian.
No. And I loved that he was willing to take the risk. I loved what Maggie said to Steph too. Well, first she was like, that joke would have killed him if it
I loved that. Yeah.
And then she's like, you have to find the joy. Like he did this so that his organs could be donated.
Yeah.
But I love characters like that.
Little side stories that just really touch your heart.
Yeah.
What else do we got? We got Bailey and Tuck.
Yeah, that was interesting to me because in my life, I feel like step-parents, like, don't
Yeah.
Like I
was wondering your opinion.
Well,
on this.
I mean, I was older than Tuck is too, but I was like, you're not my parent. Like, you have no right. So, but clearly they have a different living situation. I feel like Tuck was young. It's probably very different. And I think it is different if you get with someone when their kids are like really young and however you discuss it. But I liked that Bailey, though. I think it was a big move for Bailey as someone who does everything herself to delegate, to hand off something and to feel relieved that like, okay, I do trust Ben. He can do this and like, this will make my life easier.
Yeah. Because like, I think Ben even suggests that like Bailey's ex-husband be the one. And she's like, he's not going to deal with this at all. So right. Ben's like, fine, I'll be the one.
The hammer will fall when she says that. There was some great, the one-liner between the two of them too before the big car crash when he goes, it's art, Miranda. He goes, limos hiding limos and hearses, a flying corpse. It's art, Miranda. It's a hot mess of art. And I like how she's like, how dare you? There's a funeral. Like you go pick up Tuck. He's like, I was already going to.
Yeah. I think
they're good together right now.
Yeah, for sure. And then we got Granny June.
Yeah, that surprised me, but also didn't.
I was like happy.
I love that you love that.
I was like, good for you, girlfriend. Like you've waited 3 years.
Right.
And like, you are such you can tell like a kind person who
puts everyone. Be like, you was an Enneagram too.
Yeah, puts everyone before them and is like, you know what? Fuck that person. I'm sorry, but I've waited my turn and I want to live and be like, why is my life any less valuable?
Yes.
You know?
I do like that Bailey was also like, yes.
Yeah.
Like that she wasn't wanting her to give it up also.
Yeah.
I
mean, I think that was the ultimate test from God at the end. They were like, God was like, June, will you accept this gift that I'm giving to you?
I also love that the
And if you say yes, the other person will still get a liver.
That's a good test.
If you say no, both of you will die.
Oh my God. I love that the daughter came out and was like, that was very unexpected.
Yeah, we did not.
We will be praying for the other person.
Yeah.
I hope you have a Granny June moment in your life.
Yeah, maybe so.
Where when I say, Brie, can I come over? You say no.
No, I'm sorry. You cannot.
Also, there's that whole storyline of like Steph being called the best resident, which is interesting because this is her last season.
Yes.
So it's just like she's at the top of her game.
Yeah. And then she leaves.
Yeah.
Because of a rapist.
And fire. I did like that Richard called Granny June a selfish old biddy.
I loved too, like Meredith laying outside with Karev. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And like, she was legitimately going to get up and I think steal that organ. Yes. Like if Alex wasn't there, like I think she'd be like, I'm Dr. Bailey.
Yeah. And I also, there's some humor in the show when Amelia is asking like, how did you tell Derek that you were pregnant? And she goes, with Ellis, I was off the hook because he was dead.
Yeah.
I just love when there's like dark humor like that.
Yeah.
And Jackson wants them to stay.
There is one that's with Granny June and the whole family's together and they take a group picture and say liver.
I didn't even.
I was like, oh my God,
liver.
This is too much.
I'll ask my wedding couples to say that next time.
Yeah.
That's really all I have besides when we talk about the funeral massacre.
Same. Which I feel like we went through that really fast for three episodes, but
there wasn't a lot.
That's why we did three episodes. So let's do notes and trivia.
Yeah, this episode's title originated from the song I Ain't No Miracle Worker, originally sung by The Brobes.
It scored 8.08 million viewers.
The table read took place on August 19th, 2016.
Despite being the third episode, this is the first appearance of Jessica Capshaw as Arizona Robbins in season 13, as she's been absent the first two episodes.
The episode marks the first appearance of Little Tuck since Thriller three seasons ago.
This episode's title originated from the song Falling Slowly, originally sung by Glenn Hansard.
Not the song I was thinking of.
And Marketa Irglova?
Yeah, great. The episode scored 7.8 million viewers.
Table read was on August 30th, 2016.
Filming started on September 2nd, 2016.
Emma's line, I'm feeling perfect, got it all together. I'm Kendall and Chloe and Kylie and whatever other K names you got is a reference to the Kardashian and Jenner sisters.
If you don't know that, you live under a rock.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. The episode title originated from the song Both Sides Now, originally sung by Joni Mitchell.
Such a good song. That's the song in Love Actually.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh.
She just fixes from both sides. Now.
She fixes the sheet. Yeah.
Oh God.
I can't watch that movie.
Yeah. The episode scored 8.17 million viewers.
A deleted scene from this episode shows Owen cluelessly babysitting a crying Harriet with Arizona giving him some tips.
Goof. The tablet Amelia looks at shows the date as October 29th, 2016, although at this point it should be fall 2017, considering the year that passed during She's Leaving Home.
Goof. At many different times, Owen was holding Harriet and it sounded like she was crying, but she can be seen not crying.
Yeah, I saw
crying.
That. Oh. I did see that, but I was like, whatever, it's a fucking baby. I hope the baby's not crying. Okay.
I gave two options.
Okay, cool.
I wrote, I need you to choose Arizona. Sure. She played a small role, but I loved her support of DeLuca as well as her speech to Alex. And Alex, he diagnosed the girl with
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Thank you. And he did not take credit for it.
Let's give it to Alex.
Great.
I think that was...
Alex haters are going to hate us.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that like, he's just like keeping his head down, doing his work. Yep. And...
not giving it to Tamir.
Yeah. And no one else is doing anything in these episodes. Let's be honest. So...
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
I gave it a 6. I wasn't really that impressed.
No, it was fine. It was nice to binge 3 episodes. Like, sometimes when we only watch 2.
Yeah.
Like, it was nice to just, like, keep it rolling.
For sure.
But, yeah, nothing too intense happened. All right. So, again, if you are a patron, make sure you're listening on the app or in the RSS feed. We have post up. And other than that, we are thankful for all of you. And, yeah.